the gifts of the Spirit. And some people think that Paul wrote this letter as a response to something that he'd received from the Corinthian church. He had a sort of odd relationship with them, really, but it's almost as if there were some questions that had been set to him, plus situations that he'd heard about and felt that he wanted to address. And one of those was about the use of spiritual gifts within the church. So in 1 Corinthians 12, we don't know what they wrote to him, but he says he doesn't want them to be ignorant about spiritual gifts because they were going to be a key part of how the church would grow. But he knew that they were being used, but they also needed to be taught. So he tells them, as is echoed in that Romans passage, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord is to be served. There are different kinds of abilities, but the same God gives those abilities. And in some way, he says, in each person, these gifts are given for the good of all. And then there's a list of these spiritual gifts. And then he reminds us that the Spirit is the one who does all of this. He gives different gifts, but he gives gifts to each person. So what we're thinking about, and we may keep going over this ground because it's important, is that God the Holy Spirit is the means by which God the Father and Jesus give certain gifts to Christians, gives them abilities that enable them to serve in the body of Christ, the church. There's a variety of gifts. Some of them are listed in the Bible. Some I think we see in action in other places where people use their gifts and talents. And the Spirit decides what gifts he's going to give to whom. Everyone has something, and we're going to have to keep reminding ourselves of that. Everyone has something, not given for themselves, but for the good of all. So there's three main lists of gifts here in Romans, in Corinthians, and in Ephesians chapter 4, and a little bit in one of Peter's letters as well. And if you look in books, or you look at articles, or you look online, there are endless ways that people subdivide them and have differences about how many there are and so on. The consensus would be that there are over 20 gifts of the Spirit specifically mentioned in the New Testament. And Peter Wagner, in his book, Your Spiritual Gifts Can Help Your Church Grow, lists 27. And I've got a copy of that, and I'll run some off for next week for you so that you can have a look through what these gifts are. So that's our background. That's where we're looking. We're trying to find out how best we can use what God has given us or God wants to give us here as a church family. How can we use these gifts for the good of everyone? How can we encourage one another to discover and to use and to exercise the gifts that God has already given us? Well, I want to suggest just a few very practical things, I hope, this morning when it comes to discovering our gifts. And the first thing to say is bits up here. What are the gifts of the Spirit? They're not the same as natural gifts. The New Testament evidence is that the spiritual gifts are more than simply our natural talents. Now, it's true that the talents that we have and the gifts that we acquire, we are sometimes given them by God because they're the natural ones. Sometimes they're ones that we've learned and we have to give thanks to God and use those for his glory. But the vast majority of the gifts of the Spirit are not natural gifts. We are to celebrate and to use who we are, but God may want to give us something more than who we are. Because some of them are clearly supernatural. I am unable to heal, I am unable to perform miracles unless God does that. We simply become, if you like, means by which his blessing can be seen on earth. And some of them are clearly supernatural, more than our natural gifts, although our natural gifts are important. Some also seem to be God adding something. The Spirit sort of turbocharges our talents and our personalities. You know, there are lots of people that have learned to play the guitar, me sort of included. But then we see people who we know use their talent, that talent, to the glory of God. So we start off with the same place, Burt Whedon's Play in a Day probably book, but we end up somewhere different because God uses that gift that person has and turbocharge it. Natural leaders who we see something in them and God seems to use that leadership in a very special way. People who care, serving other people to an extraordinary degree, thoughtful about other people in a way that other people aren't necessarily. God will seek to use the natural talents that he's given us, and as Christians we will want to do that, but we should also seek new spiritual gifts from God because both are needed. Thank you, God, for who I am. Thank you for what you've given me. What next? What more? They're not to be feared. Jesus says, doesn't he, in Luke 11, that we shouldn't fear the Spirit. The Spirit is a gift from our Heavenly Father. Shouldn't be feared. We shouldn't be afraid of. But by the same token, the gifts that God the Spirit gives are what we need, and they will not give us harm. Some are clearly supernatural and therefore unnerving to begin with. I mean, if we're touching into the life of the supernatural, if we're going to mean business, and we must not expect to miss out on being challenged by his power and his activity, which may be supernatural. We are privileged to know the God who made heaven and earth. And if he wants to work through us, using some of that power, that's incredible. We can shy away from it, we can fear him, or we can try to ignore it, or we can trust him enough to learn and to have our limited horizons widened, to say, Lord, what now? What next? What more? Jesus, take me as I am, but don't let me stay like that. They're not given just for me. Gifts that God gives, whether they're natural talents or spiritual gifts, are to be used for the life of the body, the church. And if you're not using what God has given you, the church is missing out. If you're not using what God has given you, you're missing out. Because God's given it so that you can grow. If you're using what God has given you, you grow, and so does the church. Not the same thing as the fruit of the Spirit. We touched on this a little bit on our house group on Thursday. The fruit of the Spirit is interlinked with the gifts, but the fruit of the Spirit are those characteristics, those qualities that should mark the life and relationship of every Christian, all of them. Every part of the fruit of the Spirit should be seen in every Christian. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. You know what I mean. They should be in us in every way. However, not every Christian will have every gift of the Spirit. We couldn't handle it, and there wouldn't be a point to it. And it may be true that not every church will or should have every gift in it either. God will work through what we have and give us more. How do I discover then what gift God has given me? How can I discover what he wants for me? Well, if you don't believe that God gives gifts, you won't think any more about it. You just carry on as we are. Some people believe the spiritual gifts died out with the apostles. But for me personally, I can find nothing to convince me that that's the case. And I think there's evidence from 2,000 years of the Christian church in action that the gifts are still around. Maybe we don't believe that God has given us anything. God wouldn't give anything to me. And that's a question of measuring our self-esteem against the promises of God. If God has said he gives gifts, and we say, I haven't received a gift, then it's probably a case for us to go back to God and say, what am I missing here? The Word of God declares the Spirit gives gifts to each person. And trust me, if you're wondering if God has given you a gift, you will not be the person in the whole of history, the one person that he singled out to be different. It's not boasting to be proud of what God has given us, and he's given it to you to be used. So believe that God has given you at least one gift and that he can work through who you are to his glory. The second way to discover what God has given me is to pray. If you don't know what he's given you, if you're unsure of the gift, then ask him. Take time out to seek God. Find out what he has in store for you. There are times when we need to ask him to guide us to a place where we can discover what he has for us. May also want to pray and ask God to consider giving us a specific gift. You know, if there's something that we feel drawn towards, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, Lord, is this the gift that you want to give me? We may be willing for him to say yes or no, but maybe praying with someone else will help as well. If you're not sure, there may be other people that aren't sure what gifts God wants to give, or indeed, that there's more that he wants to give to you, then find someone, just pray about it. It doesn't have to be big, heavy prayers. It can simply be an opportunity to pray together and seek God as you pray. Be aware of what the options are. How can we know what gift we might have been given or could be given if we don't know the options? As I say, I'll do this list of 27, but if you want a really good little book about the spiritual gifts, then you can't, I don't think you can go much further than Billy Graham's book, The Holy Spirit. It's quite elderly now, but it's scholarly and it's biblical. Billy Graham, The Holy Spirit. But go back to the Bible. What does God teach about these gifts? How do these gifts work? What do these gifts mean? What impact do they have on people? What are the consequences of these gifts? And as you read them, you might find yourself drawn to a particular area or a particular gift that you can seek God about. Now, having said that they're not our natural gifts, consider yourself, consider who you are, because a spiritual gift may be an extension of your natural inclinations and talents. It may be. That's not a hard and fast rule, but often the area that we feel at home in is what God will gift us for. So if we're naturally good with people, he'll probably give us gifts that help us to be better with people. God can call us to something that's a constant slog. But I think this is the exception rather than the rule. I think God wants to take us as we are and open us up to new possibilities. If it's hard going, we don't have a clear conviction where we should be, maybe it's time to consider stopping, trying something else. Despite what others might say, there's no conflict between serving God and actually enjoying yourself. I think sometimes we get the impression that serving God's got to be all hard work and nothing else. Sometimes it can be about a tremendous blessing. As Shirley showed us last week, another way that we can find out what our gifting is to ask other people. Find someone you trust and say, what do you think I'm good at? What areas do you think God might be calling me to? Because, you know, sometimes people can see the things that we can't see. God has given the church the role of helping us find and use our spiritual gifts. You see, in Baptist churches, for example, a person can't be a minister in a church or in positions of leadership simply because they feel drawn to it. The call to ministry is confirmed by the church and not just by the person. And I think that's true. That can be true for a lot of other gifts. God maybe sometimes wants to affirm us in what we're doing. That was true also of some of the writers in the scriptures. Other people may be in a better position to see your gift than you are and to discover if where you are now is best for the gifts that you've got. Find people you trust. Ask them. Let your gift be tested by the church family. If you feel that there's something that God's calling you to, talk with the church leadership. Say, I feel drawn to this area. What do you think? Will you pray? Do you think there are ways that I could serve God here through that? Be willing to experiment. Now, this is a little bit tricky. I think we sometimes discover our talents by trying things. I think sometimes we find out what God has given us by trying things. It's not possible with all the spiritual gifts. Peter Wagner, for example, lists martyrdom down as a spiritual gift. You don't get more than one option with that one. Or exorcism is not something to dip into carelessly. But there's nothing wrong with trying things. Saying, I'm not sure, but let me explore whether this is the area that I think God might be calling me to. Set a trial period. There's no failure in trying and finding it's not right. The failure is not trying at all. So be willing to experiment, to try different areas, and for God to say, yep, or nope. And you'll know. And be willing to work. God is always looking for people who are really serious about their commitment to his service. So don't even begin to ask what your gift could be if you're not willing for God to use it. But if he is, and you are, then then amazing things can happen. God has given you that gift for you to use. It's not just for your personal pleasure, but it's to be used in the life of the church. You matter. Your gifting makes a difference. What God wants to do through you can have an impact. Whether or not you choose to allow God to use your gift, you can make a difference. If you use it, the body's built up, and if you don't, well, it ain't. But God's got amazing things for us. So in summary then, there are 27 or so New Testament spiritual gifts, and there are others in the Old Testament as well. These are gifts that are available by the direct action of the Holy Spirit into the life of a Christian believer. Our talents and our spiritual gifts are both given by God to be used, but spiritual gifts are abilities that are given us by God which we would not naturally have or be able to gain. Gifts, at least one, are given to every believer. They are to be used to build up the body and to release other people in turn to serve. If they're not used, the body suffers and we find that the church growth is stunted. And if we are to consider what God has already given us, and then as we do that together as a church, we find out how best to use that gift mix. Seems to me that there's two broad ways that we deal with this process of looking at spiritual gifts, and I think it's right that we're doing that at the moment. But there's two sort of responses. One is to say, this is the shape of our church. This is how we do things. These are the jobs that need doing. Can we find people with gifts to do those jobs? Right, so in a sense, it's like a jigsaw. And we're trying to find the right piece to go in the right hole. The other way, which is a little more risky, is to say, well, this is the shape of the church, but actually it's shaped by the people that are in it. We should be looking at what gifts we have and then be church in the light of what we've got. Be church in the light of what God wants us to do. So it's not just about filling jobs. It's about looking at the gifts that we have and saying, how can we release them? How can we use them to the glory of God? The first one is okay. It's an administrative view. The second is a little bit more tricky. And I have to say, if I'm totally honest, I've never found a place where it totally works. But I've found a place where if we come to a place where people can come to the leadership and say, look, I think this may be where I'm called to, we can find some amazing things happening. And we'll find that there are gifts in the church that we didn't know that were there. And God can use that for his glory. So discovering our gifts, very important to every one of us. And we have the chance to do that. Let's pray. Well, they're happy about it. Father, I want to thank you that you have made us to be the people that we are. I thank you that the talents and the gifts that we have, some are natural, some we've acquired. We thank you that they make us part of who we are. And you want to work through those. And you do. And you are. And I thank you. But you may also have more for us, more than we thought possible. Gifts that you would want to give us that are supernatural, that are from you directly into our lives, to affect change within the community and outside. So please, Lord, as we go through this series, as we think about our life together later in the year on our away day, Lord, I pray that you would be continuing to work through us, giving us wisdom and courage and vision as we seek to serve you to the glory of your name. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way, but take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing just before.